All right, so we want to talk today about being strong in the Lord, and specifically with that, see your purpose. Lord's given some stories and some verses here about how we're supposed to live our lives. The Lord would give us strength, but then we have a responsibility. We have a direction. We have a call. Every one of us here have a purpose that God's desiring to use us for in life. And so we have a great responsibility as to how we're using that strength. And so that's kind of what we want to look at today. When temptations come our way, to look another way except to the Lord and His purpose in our life. We need to have a song that rises to God, because, and that's what in that song was coming to me, that we want to have something that rises up in us that says, no, I'm created for a purpose, and God had a reason. He had a direction He wanted my life to take. He had things He wants me to fulfill in life, and they're very great, mighty, and powerful. And in the eyes of the world, they may never amount to anything to this world. But this world is not what's going to last forever. God's kingdom is what lasts forever. And so our purpose is in God's kingdom and what He desires to do with us. And so I don't want us to ever get stuck in the little music that's down here in this world and in this earth and listening to that tune and just get distracted and then not use the strength that God has given us for His purpose. Because there's a song that should rise above all that, that we not fall to that temptation to just be what the world would think we ought to be, but that we would look to be what God created us to be and gave us strength and purpose to be in our life. And so Ephesians 6 and 10, this is a common verse here we want to start with, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So this verse, we've read it a lot, I've read it a lot, but it gives me some direction. It says, Brandon, you're not just created. You're not left alone to just go out and face things on your own. But there's God who wants to strengthen you. That there's a strength that God wants to give to you. And He wants you to be strong in the power of His might. So Brandon, you're not just here to play the tune that the world is playing. You're not just here. And I'm not just talking about abstaining from sin. In fact, it's so much more than that that God's put on our heart this morning. It's not just abstaining from sin. We definitely don't need to play that tune. But there's a tune of this world, even in the religious community, even in people who desire to follow after Christ, that we can fall susceptible to. And we begin to just sing the song of this world. It's just, really, it comes down to just survival. I mean, it's more than that. Maybe I shouldn't classify it that way, but it's lacking vision to see past the moments of my day and the things that are happening to me as more than just what's right here, right now. But that God is orchestrating a life for me, a song for me to sing that rises above just what I'm seeing and just the things that are around me and has a greater purpose. It's part of His kingdom. As I engage in the most menial task in my life day to day, the Lord has an opportunity right there that He has set up and orchestrated a song that He is wanting me to sing in that moment. But I have to make a decision to believe in Him and in who He is and the path and the purpose that He has for my life, that is even important to Him. Even the little things that come along to me in my life, that God is allowing them to engage in a heavenly purpose. The tune of this world says it's just another thing. It's just another task to do today. It's just another thing that has to be done. And that's all there is to it. But you know, even in repairing a leak in your house, even in feeding your children every day, even in preparing lessons. We have some who are involved in that. And I'm just throwing things, just keep laying things out there. Even in each and everything that God is orchestrating in our life, is working to, allowing to be in our life, there is a purpose. There is a song He's wanting us to sing in those moments. And part of it sometimes is just that we can move through those moments and still have a heart that is set on the Lord, on being what He wants me to be, even when it seems like it's mundane. Even when it seems like it's so simple. When it's just, when the world is just really turning up the volume, so to speak, and saying, this is all there is to it. This is not all there is to it. What I see around me is not what life is really about. It's the things God's allowing to accomplish His greater purpose, His heavenly purpose, His eternal purpose in my life. And that's what I want to live for. That's what God has given us strength for. That is His purpose in our life. And the reason He gives us strength and the ability to do things is to glorify Him in even the most mundane tasks that lay before us. Even when we feel like it, even when we feel good, it's still an opportunity to praise God. Even when we feel bad, it's an opportunity to praise God. Even when we're, whatever the situation is, it's opportunities to praise God by the life that we live, by the actions we take, by the purpose that we live for in our life day to day. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong, Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we went through all that to try to get in our mindset that this is something that is 24/7. We're either going to sing the song of this world, let it affect us. I'm not talking about just being given to some one thing or another, totally necessarily falling to the world, but getting kind of that music getting loud in our ears. Are we going to turn down the volume on that and turn up the volume on God and say, God, I don't know why you got me doing this thing right here. It's like God's put on my heart lately. And it hasn't happened as much, but for a while there was happening to somebody. It seemed like I woke up in the night and there was nothing really wrong. I wasn't necessarily troubled in my mind, but it's like God just kept waking me up and God impressed me. Brandon, right here. You know, well, God, why are you waking me up? I'd like to sleep. But some of the most precious times I had with the Lord right there in that moment of just thanking Him, beginning to think about all He had done for me in my life. Well, that was something for me. But all of it works together to destroy the devil in this world if we allow it to be a part of this kingdom, of the heavenly kingdom, to engage in warfare, spiritual warfare, so to speak, that the devil might be destroyed and the goodness of God might pervade our lives and flow over in our lives and might be what's flowing out of us. The devil wants us to lose the vision of the purpose that God has for our life and get us just stuck in the mundane and our, the volume. The only thing we can hear in our worlds is the in our ears is the world just saying, this is all there is to it. There's nothing to this little task here. Just get this task done. Okay, now just get this other task. Oh, there's nothing to this. I'll just get this other little task done. There's nothing to it. And destroying the purpose. God's saying, no, I got a purpose, and the devil's trying to get us. No, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Don't believe that. Because God's purpose will destroy him in our life. It will destroy what he's trying to do when we're given to the Lord's purpose in our life. And we recognize that this is why we're given strength. You know, it says in Habakkuk 2 and 4, his soul which is lifted up in is not upright in him. You know, God has not given me strength to just go off and just live, to just live the mundane, just to live this world. He's not given me strength just to go off and to glorify me or to just, you understand what I'm saying, just to be about me just surviving in this world. That's not what God's trying to do. He's not trying to lift me up and just help me survive and get through this world, so to speak. There's something greater. That verse goes on to say, but the just shall live by faith. A vision that there's something more than me. than just what I'm doing right now, that there's a purpose for it. There's a reason God's allowing things into my life. And I think about all of that being important, that we not, you know, we think about, oh, Lord, help us to be able to say it right. When the volume of this world, when we begin to lose sight of the fact that God's got a purpose, what actually happens is we begin to abuse the office that He's given to us. Because He gave us this office for His purpose, but when we lose sight of the fact that God's got purpose in these things that He's allowing our life, then we wouldn't say it this way, but we're basically abusing the office that God has given to us. When there's someone who's elected to a public office and then it just starts becoming about them, they're abusing that office. We can see that clearly. And when they're not serving, they're not fulfilling that office and making their focus, making sure they're using the power in that office to do the job that it was meant to do, when they fall short of that, we begin to feel like they're abusing that office, like they're just sitting there and just doing their own thing. But it's a little harder to translate it to us when sometimes into the spiritual, and to realize that whatever strength I have in life and whatever things that God has brought in my life, He brought them in there for His purpose. And if I'm just living the mundane, I'm actually abusing the office that God has given to me. He gave it to me for me to accomplish what He desires for me to accomplish in my life. He's given me strength, the ability to be there and have those qualities or abilities that He's given to me that His purpose might be accomplished. And when I live the mundane, I'm actually abusing that office. You know, I thought about in Luke 3, 12 through 14, John actually is speaking to, let's go ahead and turn over there and read that directly. Luke 3. And let's look at the 12th verse here. And he's speaking to the publicans, and then he'll speak to the soldiers. Let's see what he says to them. And this is where they're all coming to him to be baptized. And these are ones who were coming to him in sincerity. And the publicans came to be baptized, and they said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't abuse your office. Do what that office was meant to do. It was meant to collect some taxes. It was meant to do some things. It wasn't meant for you to abuse it and just be about what you wanted out of this office. All right? So don't do that. Use it for what the purpose is. The soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do no violence to no man, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You weren't given this place to go make your own way in this world. You were given it to fulfill a purpose, right? So it's the same thing with us spiritually. God gave us this office not to do our own thing, but to fulfill His purpose and all. And when we don't, when we lose sight of that, we actually fail to fulfill the office, and in a way we're abusing that office in our life. Judges 13. Let's read the story here of Samson. Samson was somebody who was given great strength. And he's somebody who failed to use it the way that God really... I don't feel like in reading the story of Samson, it says over and over that God allowed things to happen, but it didn't say that He meant for them to have to all happen the way they did. I believe God could have done greater things with Samson if he would have been focused on using that office for the Lord. But Samson had some issues here, and it says, Judges 13, it says, And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And so we see that there was a purpose for Samson. That God had a purpose for him, that even before he was born, he was already establishing things to be set up for the purpose that he was wanting to work in Samson's life. And then it drop on down to the 24th verse, and it says, "The woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And so the Lord was using him, and he was growing. But then Samson began to, he began to use the office God had given him for his own purpose in life. And it says he went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her to me for wife. For me to wife." Then his father and his mother said unto him, "As the Lord had promised, had directed, not promised, but had directed them before, that they should not marry amongst the Philistines or the other nations there, for they would turn your heart away from God." And his father and his mother tried to warn him this way. He says, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all thy, my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson wouldn't listen. He said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." You see, Samson's taking his eyes off of the fact that God didn't give him this strength. Yeah, I'm sure your strength, Samson, is very attractive. And if you see a young lady who you like, it's probably a tool that you can use to be attractive to her. And so you can use that however you want to. But Samson, this is not supposed to be about you. God didn't give you this strength for you to go do what you feel like doing in life, all right? He gave you the strength for his purpose. But Samson is starting to see himself and what he wants in life. And so they do this, and he gets married, and this first one doesn't work out real well. This is where he tells the story, the riddle out there, and about the lion and all, and so then they come in the 15th verse here of this chapter. They come and they say, "We're going to burn your father," to the girl he's supposed to marry. He says, "We're going to burn your father's house with fire." And so then she comes weeping to him in the 16th verse and says, "Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. There, thou hast put a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me." And he says, "Behold, I've not told it to my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it to thee?" And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. This sounds really familiar. We don't have any stories like this about Samson before this, because this is where he started getting his eyes off of what God called him to do. And so this wasn't the time where his hair got cut. And this wasn't it. But here it is. Here's Samson. This was the time that Samson started looking for his own purpose in life, for his, just to live life for what the world was saying that this life is about, just for the pleasures that are here. And that began to become his focus, instead of staying focused on the Lord and on what was God's purpose. And so this ended badly, and he goes in a rage, and his wife was given to his companion and all. And so then that all just went down. So then there's another story here in the 16th chapter where he again saw, there was a woman there. And so he went down there in the 16th chapter, once again, for his own purpose, because this is what he wants. And they end up closing the doors of the city, and he has to walk out. Again, some things aren't really working out the way they should, all right? And so then we all down through this chapter, right after this is where he meets Delilah. So between 4 and 17 is the whole story of Delilah. And it comes on down here, and now she is says in 17th, 15th verse, she said unto him, she's asking, what is your strength? Because the Philistines have said, explain to us how he's strong. What can we do to conquer him? And so Delilah, she said unto him, how can thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up to this once, for he has shewed me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought her money. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in a prison house. And so this is kind of a quick summary of this life of Samson. But can you see through those stories how it all started where Samson began to be about himself? He stopped. He forgot that his life was about a purpose, that God created him to be a deliverer of Israel. And all of a sudden, he took the strength that God had given him and began to use it just for his own pleasure in life, just for his for all what he wanted. And it ended up badly. You know, that's not the way it has to happen. If we want to use, if Samson would have stayed focused on that, this would not have been the story of his life. And I know then that God gave him strength back and he made the wall, the roof of the house to fall down. But that wasn't how God wanted this to end. Where was the other champion that stayed faithful to God that this is how his life ended? Saul's life ended like kind of similar in a different way, not with the roof falling on him, but kind of that despair. But Saul took his eyes off God, off the purpose God created for him. Judas, his life ended differently. It ended in despair. But why did it end despair? Judas took his eyes off the purpose that God had for him in life. We could go on and pull more and more stories out of here, out of the Bible, and see that when we start becoming about us and what we want in life, then we're heading for a bad place. We're heading for destruction in our life. God did not give us our strength for our own pleasure, but he gave it to us for his purpose in our life. There was in Exodus 35, we have the story of some men who had been given a very special talent from God. 35, and we'll look here in the 30th verse of Exodus. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones, and to set them, and in carving of wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of engraving, of the cunning worker, of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen, of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. So just like Samson was strong and powerful, these guys were talented. They basically what it's saying here is that they could pretty much do anything and everything that was needed to build this temple that they're about to build. They knew it all. They knew how to do it all. They not only knew how to do it all, they knew how to do it well, very well. God had given them that purpose, that strength. They could make a lot of money. They could be extremely famous, all right, because they have some incredible talents. And not only are they able to do it, they're able to teach. they're able to sit there and show others how to do that. You know, that's a talent in and of itself, to be able to actually teach a skill. There's a lot of people have skills and they have no talent at being able to teach. But these people had all of this. And it says, and so you say, okay, yeah, well, but the temptation is, Samson had a special temptation because of his strength and he fell to it. Well, look and see here what's happening with these guys. It says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Once again, the purpose. He had given it to him for a purpose, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses and said, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. So they're sitting here, they're so talented, they're sacrificing, they're using it for the Lord. And as they're doing that, all of a sudden the money's just flowing in. It's flowing in like crazy. And how tempting it could be to say, we're talented. We're sacrificing everything. We deserve this. That's what those words, just like with Samson, he said, get her for me. They could have had the same thing going on here. They could have said, well, for me, I mean, I deserve this. Let it flow in here. Here's a little for you, a little for me. We deserve this. Put it in your pocket and go on with it. But they didn't do that. They came back and said, look, wait, we've got more than enough. Stop sending money. We don't need it. Because you know what our purpose is? Our purpose is not to do anything for ourselves, to fill our own pockets or do anything like this. We're here to build the temple of God. And we have what we need to do this. And we don't need anything more. We're going to do what we need to. You see how they were like, we're not going to lose our focus. We weren't given these talents to indulge ourselves, to abuse the office that God gave to us. We were given it for a purpose, like it said, to build the sanctuary. So that's what we're going to do. And then they go through, if you want to read it, we can, but I'm not going to do it this morning. We might lose a few people, including me, very possibly. But you read through the next 36, 37, 38, you look at all the work they did and the time it must have took to do that. Continually, day by day, some of it probably really exciting and some of it just stuff that had to get done. I guarantee you, every single job here was not, just exceptionally exciting for them to do. But yet, it was all for a purpose, to build the sanctuary. All right, we're not losing focus. We're going to stay focused, and we're going to go through, we would say, all these chapters, but they're just going through life, day by day. All right? And they're getting down here towards the end. If you look in the 39th chapter of Exodus there, and the 32nd verse, it says, thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. They didn't lose focus. You know, that should have been the same message out of Samson's life. It shouldn't have been a message of, well, this one more time, Lord, give me my strength back so that I can. The Lord never meant for him to lose it, right? God didn't want him to cut his hair. He told him not to. All right, but here's Samson at the end saying, Lord, just one more time. It didn't have to be that way for Samson. It could have been the same story for Samson. He could have been a mighty conqueror for the Lord. But he lost focus. It began to be about himself and what could happen for him in life and what he could get out of it. But these people, that wasn't it. They stayed focused through the whole job and live for the purpose that God had given them to live for. And so the work was finished. And then it says in the 43rd verse, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. They got it completed, just as the Lord had said to. That's what the story can be out of my life. But it only happens if I'm living for God and for His purpose in my life. In the mundane and in the exciting. And the days where I feel good and I'm happy, and you know, sometimes when I'm a little bored with life, that I'm still living for God. The more I know, Lord, I know we can still get bored, so I don't want to say we don't get bored, but God's got a lot of exciting things to think about in this life. A lot of hope. I mean, hope itself, it's hard to be too bored if our hope is clear and bright before us. But in the middle of whatever you're going through, if you're living for God's purpose, that could be the story out of our life. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to get to the end of your life and say, well, Lord, I really got off track there, didn't I? I really started just living for the day-to-day and listening to the tune of this world and just doing whatever blessed my life or whatever I felt like I wanted to do in life. And now I'm at the end of my way and I realize the error I've made. And so, Lord, just give me strength one more time to just do one more thing for you, Lord, as I go out of this world. Well, if that's where we find ourselves, praise God for His mercy, but it doesn't, that's not what God intends for our life. That is what will happen if we're not living for the Lord and for His purpose day by day in life. We will come, and I pray to God, if that's the way we live, we come to that place and we realize the mistake we've made. And at least at the very end, we say, Lord, have mercy. Help me to do one more thing for you. Help me to be where I need to be. And Lord, take me out. But that's not what God wants. But it takes laying down who I am, not living for my purpose, and living for the Lord, recognizing He gives me the strength to do what He's looking to do in my life. Because this is a battle, because Satan's out there, because there's a war going on, because there's life to be lived spiritually. And that's the life I want to live for. And I want to accomplish the purpose you have for my life, that you have for me, Lord. And so, that's what these people did. And they came to the end and Moses looked on and said, you've done it just like the Lord wanted you to. That's what I want to hear when I come. Lord, help me. That would be a pure miracle. But that's what can happen out of our life, is the Lord can work in such a way that His righteousness is revealed and His work is done. And we come to the end and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done it like I told you to do it. I knew you needed me. I knew you weren't perfect in the sense that you could just do it on your own. But you did that. You listened. You lived for my purpose. And you let me work through you. You let me use my strength as I deemed it needed to be used in your life. And so you come to this place and you've done it like I told you to. And it says, and Moses blessed them. Now you may be sitting there and maybe that doesn't resound with you, but it should. It should resound. Because there's a verse in Proverbs 10 and 22 that says, the blessing of the Lord. Let's come over and read that so we see that directly. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. That's what God wants out of your life. He wants a place where you are rich and there's no sorrow added to it. Yeah, you've walked through some hard places. You've experienced some things in this life that are not easy. But there's a richness in you because of in all those things you have lived for God's purpose, for what He desired in your life. And there's a richness there that has no sorrow with it, that lasts for eternity. And when you fly away from this world, that's what you're taking with you. That's where you're going. And there's no more tears. There's no more sadness. You are experiencing the blessing of the Lord. Lord, help us. Because I know the world, once again, turns up its music and goes, the blessing of the Lord. What's that really mean? It means everything. It means everything. I would want to say it some other way so I could get it across, but I don't know how to say it except that that's everything in life. That's what matters. Everything else is just noise. It doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't matter. Oh, Lord, help us. How many souls have been stolen away because something in this world mattered enough to take eyes off of God's purpose? And no longer just living for what He wanted in life, but living for me a little bit. Because I want this thing. I want to be known this way. Or I want to have this thing out of life. You know, those guys building the temple, they could have said, well, we want to be known for this. Samson said, I want this thing out of life. Lord, help us. We want to live for Jesus. We want to live for Him. His blessing means everything in life. And if that's all we get out of this life, that's all we need. To not just make it, but to be happy. In fact, it's the only thing. Lord, help us to say it the right way. In the end, it's the only thing that we're going to find happiness and peace in. We're going to have little things that seem to bring something, you know, from time to time, but things that are not inside the will of the Lord and the purpose of the Lord, there's sorrow that comes with it. There's destruction that comes with it. But God's not that way. His blessing is pure, complete, 100% nothing but good. And it's the thing that will make us happy in life.